Hey everyone, I'm Jaden.
And I'm Noah.
And we are the Super Gamer Bros, and this is the Super Gamer Bros podcast. We're just a couple of brothers who love playing games and love talking about games, so that's what we do. And if you guys are sitting there and you're wondering, wow, Jaden, you sound your voice sounds a little sexy today. What's your secret? And it's I'm sick. That's it.
It's like you know what everybody's thinking all the time.
I do. I'm pretty good at that. Some say that I'm a psychic. Anyway, that was stupid. So guys, it is time. It is technically 4 days, 3 days after the release of this episode. It is the third anniversary of the Super Gamer Bros. We did it. We
Yay!
are still going.
Shout out to us. Shout out to video games
Go
and
us.
shout out to this award show.
Absolutely. This is the most prestigious award show in gaming history, I've been told. So, if anyone does not remember from last year when we did the first SGB Awards, as we do our third anniversary, it is time for the SGB Awards. The SGB Awards is a yearly award show where we look back on all of the games we talked about in the past year and choose our favorite games we have discussed. I must say, as a disclaimer, it is not games released in the past year, just games we talked about, whether it was released in 2023 or 1996 or 2006, it doesn't matter. Additionally, this was not a rule last year, but it's a rule we decided to add. Each game is only able to win two awards aside from our top five list and the best indie game award. And that is so we can spread the love to as many games as possible because there's nothing better to me than talking about games we like. Anyway, so in case you maybe don't remember all of the games we've talked about this year, Noah and I are going to take turns and we're going to read this game list to you right now. Ratchet and Clank Going Commando.
Pokemon Colosseum.
God of War Ragnarok.
Rayman Legends.
Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2.
Horizon Forbidden West.
Alan Wake.
Psychonauts 2.
BioShock.
Mortal Kombat X.
Pac-Man World Repack.
Infamous Second Son.
Chia.
Ch-ch-ch-chia.
Ch-ch-ch-chia.
Far Cry 3.
Injustice 2.
Gotham Knights.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Sonic Frontiers.
Jak and Daxter, The Precursor Legacy.
Lego Batman 2.
Call of Duty World at War.
Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice.
Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
BioShock 2.
Octodad, Dadliest Catch.
Moving Out.
Hue.
Firewatch.
No Straight Roads.
Cult of the Lamb.
Poppo and Yo.
Hi-Fi Rush.
Rain.
Virginia.
Last Day of June.
Bastion.
Never Alone.
Assassin's Creed Chronicles, China.
What Remains of Edith Finch.
Tales of Iron.
Inscription.
I am dead.
Oh, I somehow skipped that one. That's my bad.
That's
Endling.
okay.
Extinction is Forever.
Humanity.
Lake.
The Forgotten City.
Dodgeball Academia.
Call of the Sea.
Hey, and that's it. All
Ma'am,
those
I'm going to
awards.
tell you something really upsetting right now, which is the fact that I did not even remember the Forgotten City was on this list.
Oh, yeah.
It's such I like it. It was a game I really enjoyed. I was thinking about it just yesterday or the other day, and I was like, "Oh man, that story was so interesting." Like,
Yeah, it was
there are
very
these
good.
people in the underworld trapped in the same place, and you got to solve their problems. It was a great game. And I think that it has a lot of potential for more cool games to come from that studio. So let's
Yeah.
kick it off with these awards. Jaden, what's up first?
So up first, Noah, we have the Cool Lore Award. So this award goes to games that have cool backstory, cool worlds, cool kind of setup. I'll start with my runner-up, Noah, which is BioShock. So, BioShock, the City of Rapture, it is Underwater
Beautiful
City. It
place.
is one of yeah, it is one of the most iconic locations in gaming history. I don't think anyone can argue that point. And I think with good reason. It is an awesome location, and having literally for the first time this year played the first BioShock game, I did not realize completely how intricate the lore was with the BioShock Civil War and Ryan Adams Industries versus Fontaine Futuristics and that whole thing and this class struggle and everything that went on up to when the game actually takes place. It is very intricate, and I thought it was very, very cool. What is your runner-up,
All
Noah?
right, so my runner-up is Inscription. Jaden, Inscription was one of the indie games that we played for the indie bit. It is, in its essence, a simple card game. However, the development team made this game so unique in the way that its story is presented to you. It is presented in the format of a you follow a person who discovers a game of Inscription, and it's basically like Cursed and traps the players inside, and you play, and if you lose you die, but if you win you become one of the in whoever whichever one of the four leaders you beat, you end up becoming one of them. It was just a really cool lore and world building. And I know you didn't really play it that far, so you didn't really get into any of that stuff. But it reminds me a lot of, like Cult of the Lamb, those type of really simple setups. But this one was just presented so interestingly. I've never seen another game like it.
That's cool. That's cool. I'm glad you did like it. My winner for cool lore goes to Jak and Daxter: The Precursor Legacy. So this one of, the classic PlayStation 2 trilogies. We did not play it on the PlayStation 2, but we always knew what it was. I guess we did play a little bit of Jak 3 with a friend of ours, but we did not have any experience with the series in itself. And eventually, I got the Jak and Daxter collection on PS3. And I played through it, and the lore of Jak and Daxter, I did not realize was so intricate and so involved. With like the precursors, and you're in like, you're kind of in. It's similar to the lore of the Horizon games, where you're like a technologically, what would you say, like not advanced society. You live in tiny villages. You
Primitive.
use, yeah, primitive. But, there's the backstory of the precursors, who are these very, very technologically advanced peoples, and they have disappeared, and all their technology is still there. And you find all of their stuff, and use the eco, which is energy they learned to harness, and you're kind of learning to use yourself. I just thought the actual like lore of Jak and Daxter was very, very cool, and I certainly appreciated that when I was playing through Jak and Daxter the first time.
Alrighty. That's a great point. Jak and Daxter is a very interesting game. I did not even consider it for lore here. My winner is Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. Talking about a weird way for a story to be presented. Sekiro is one of the weirdest games I have ever played. From Software really nails that in all their games, but Sekiro, is the only one like it. All the other games are kind of more similar to each other, and there's sequels built off of them and whatnot. And Sekiro stands alone as of now. It's kind of like this monstrous, mythical Japanese world. It is just very interesting, and the way you learn everything is by, finding it as you play through the story and you read descriptions on the items. Jaden read everything as we played through it. It's just one of those games that is presented that way, but makes you interested in actually learning about it and going to find all this stuff.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. The lore of Sekiro was very cool. The backstory of Ashina and just the constant strife that Ashina was dealing with. And I agree. I agree. That's a very good one. That's a good choice.
Thank
Anyway,
you.
Noah, what's the next award we're doing?
All right, Jaden, the next award is for Interesting Concept. This award is for a game that just has an interesting concept, a premise, or something about it that we think is unique and sets it apart from other games. Okay, so my runner-up for this title, for this category, Jaden, is I Am Dead. Similar to the past few games I've talked about, I Am Dead had a gameplay style that I had never seen before, in which you play as a deceased person who is reliving the memories of people on his island, basically looking at important objects to those people in their life. It was a very unique game.
I will completely agree with that. I personally did not enjoy I Am Dead as much as you did, but in terms of just playing through the game, but I did think that the actual concept of you being a ghost that can like cross section things and you use cross sections to kind of explore the environment and solve puzzles, like you said, never encountered that before, and it was certainly very interesting. Anyway, where is it?
Your runner-up?
Sorry, my runner-up is Hue. So Hue is a game. It is one of those to be like the classic indie game platformers. If you play, I feel like if you just kind of pick an indie game at random, the most common form of indie game is a platformer that has one thing, like one thing that kind of makes it unique. I feel like that's what a lot of indie games are in my
That is the
experience. And
quintessential
as
recipe.
yeah, like the indie game platformer, it's a platformer. The platforming itself can be difficult or easy, and then there's one thing that separates it from the rest of like it just being a standard platformer. And me, as someone who loves platformers, I love it. I think it's cool. So, with Hue, their one thing is as you play through the game, you find these like the game is like in black and white, but as you play through the game, you find these like sections of like a color wheel. When you have that color wheel, like that color, when you have that color in your wheel, you can now see that color. So you can see, like, say, platforms of that color. And you go, oh, okay, you can now jump on those platforms. And then if you select that color in the color wheel, it turns the background of the entire world said color, like green. And then all of the green platforms disappear. So the more colors you get, the more complex it goes of, oh, I'm standing on an orange platform, but there's an orange wall blocking me from moving forward. So I have to jump off the platform, switch my color to orange so the wall disappears and land on the next color. And then, you know, kind of patterns like that that repeat using switching colors as a way to kind of solve platforming puzzles. I thought it was an incredibly cool concept, and I greatly enjoyed it. Like, I really enjoyed Hue because I thought the color switching concept was, again, as we've said with our other three options here, or other, sorry, but no, it's just saying I'm dead. It's something I'd never encountered before, and I thought it was pulled off very well, and it was cool.
All right, I did not expect to be hearing about Hue in this episode, but all right, there we go. Jaden, my winner for an interesting concept is Pokemon Colosseum. Pokemon Colosseum is a Pokemon game that was released on the GameCube. I don't know if it was released on anything else. It was
It was just the GameCube.
following the Pokemon Stadium games. It was a 3D entry in the series, which made it unique. Apart from that, it was the story and the style of Pokemon game that has never been repeated, which makes it very unique. And that style involves you playing as a trainer who has the ability to steal Pokemon from other trainers, as well as a mechanic involving shadow Pokemon and purifying them. To this day, it remains one of my favorite Pokemon games of all time, and I just think it's iconic. The differences they took in the story really made it feel new and unique, and it will always stay with me for that.
I mean, I completely agree. I think Pokemon Colosseum has a great concept. It is also one of my favorite Pokemon games. It's awesome. Love it. My winner for interesting concept is Psychonauts 2. I absolutely love the concept of the Psychonauts series, Psychonauts 2. Psychonauts 2, obviously, a way, way later, I think like, what, 18 years later, something like that,
Right, like 20.
sequel. Yeah, something like that. And just the concept of like actually entering people's minds and experiencing the world through their brain, and like you use that to help people with like through mental trauma, mental issues, and it does it in a way that I feel like is not necessarily insulting to the people that have those mental issues, which is I think very respectable of the studio. It's just awesome. I love it. The just different how each mind is just so different, I think is incredible, and it's one of my favorite game series because of the con I think just the concept of it is so damn interesting.
No, it's a fantastic game, completely unique. And to have a sequel so many years later, crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, now we move on to our favorite visuals. These are obviously games that we love the visuals of, you know. And I'm going to start it off, Noah, with Hi-Fi Rush as my runner-up. When we talked about Hi-Fi Rush, I like overall would not say I was a huge fan of the game itself. Mainly, I thought the main character was incredibly annoying, so I like might be the first time I've ever quit playing a game because I was like, dude, I just don't like this guy. I hate hearing his voice. I don't want to play him anymore. But I do think the concept of the game was cool, and even the visuals of the game I really, really enjoyed. It was bright, it was poppy. It was just I don't know how to describe it. I just love it. It was so like to me, I felt like I was playing like almost like playing through like an episode of an anime, which is very bright, very sharp, very contrasted colors. I loved the visuals of the game.
That's a really interesting point there. No, I had not considered this one, but you do have a great point. The visuals are unique and they are almost anime and cartoon in style, and it really goes with the soundtrack, obviously. Anyway, my runner-up for favorite visuals is Horizon Forbidden West. Horizon Forbidden West is one of those games that is fantastic. If it came out in any dead year, it would get Game of the Year. But I feel like what happened to Horizon 1 and Horizon 2, Forbidden West, is that it released with a bunch of other really popular, much more well-known games around it that kind of buried it a little bit. So, even though it's received well by critics and they recognize how great it is, I really don't think it is recognized by the public as much as it should be, both these games, because Jaden and I have played them, and we love them. We love the story. We love the characters. But one thing we never talk about really is how amazingly beautiful the game is, both of them. But the second one even more so. The environments, the underwater areas, and the machines, the natives, everything in the game is so just beautiful and expertly crafted. The attention to detail in their universe is insane. And the only detriment in the game is that it's too big. There's too much detail. Who has the time to spend 300 hours per, going through everything in these Horizon games? It's crazy. Jaden?
Yeah, I think I can 1,000,000% agree with everything you just said about the game being beautiful, also being too big, also having poor release window. It is great. It is great. I think that is a good choice for you. I don't know why I said for you. It's just a good choice. Anyway, my winner for favorite visuals is Noah, a game you picked called Firewatch. So Firewatch is a walking sim, which was incredibly surprising that Noah picked it because Noah hates walking sims with a burning passion. Where you play as like, a ranger who's supposed to watch out for fires. Spoiler alert, didn't do a great job. And I mean, most of the game you're just kind of you're just walking around this forest area that, like nothing but trees and cliffs and environments and talking to your like supervisor on a radio. And obviously anyone who knows anything about walking sims, considering that most of what you do is walking, it's not even most, typically all. Not very heavy in the gameplay sections. The big ways that you have to make a walking sim shine are through a good story and good visuals. And I think Firewatch 1,000,000% succeeds in both, but I especially in the visuals. It is a very beautiful game to walk around in. I really like the visuals for Firewatch.
Wow. Yes, that is a great point. Firewatch is a beautiful game. I, don't really think about it that way, but I do love it for the story. Jaden, I have another weird one here. You might not expect to see so early, which is Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Star Wars Jedi Survivor, I was watching the Ahsoka series recently, and ever since Disney acquired Star Wars, it's just been clear. Nobody working for Disney understands anything about Star Wars or what makes it good. It's clear. There have been good things, in my opinion, like it's they're fine, they're passable, they're entertaining to watch. Are they great stories? Probably not. Do they have great choreography? No. All three of the new movies are bad. It was, the Ahsoka show, Boba Fett, The Mandalorian, Obi-Wan, all those, they're okay. They're watchable. But the only people who have their hands, EA, the gaming people, they don't understand Star Wars either. The only people who have their hands on it right now that understand it are the people at Respawn. They created Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor, and they are the epitome of what Star Wars is meant to be. And what I say when I'm talking about that is the story beats and the especially the choreography, the action, the types of characters, the aliens, the ships, the sequences, the scenes. I'm talking about when you're watching these fight between these two people, and one of them has, a lightsaber flying around attacking you while they're using the force. They're also dropping something on top of Cal. They've got so many things going on. Their choreography is top-notch. Some of the best lightsaber battles I've ever seen. They have some of the best battles in Star Wars in general. Very, very well done, and I can't wait to see what they do with the third.
It does have very beautiful visuals, Noah. I will accept that choice.
Your winner for that was Firewatch? Okay, gotcha. Moving on. Our next category, Jaden, is favorite music. My runner-up for favorite music on this list of games that we have this year, Jaden, is Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. And for a lot of you already understand what I'm talking about, but for those of you that don't, I will explain that Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag is the Assassin's Creed where you play as a pirate during the exploration period. Playing as a pirate means you are the captain of your own pirate ship and you have a crew that will sing sea shanties. And these sea shanties were iconic in your time sailing from island to island, and you spent a lot of time sailing in this game. So, it's the music that stuck with me, and, I don't know, I just thought of it when looking at this category.
Well, that's a respectable choice as runner-up. My runner-up, Noah, is Pokemon Colosseum. You mentioned it earlier in the interesting concept, and it certainly is an interesting concept, unique Pokemon game, but even more than that, it is has got great music. I absolutely love the music for this game. When we did our episode on it, I specifically made sure to talk about how much I love the music and the like the Pyrite Town theme song is one of the best songs in all of gaming. That's what I was talking about. Pokemon Colosseum, baby, great music.
Wow, that's an excellent one there. I just love to hear about Pokemon Coliseum. Jaden, my winner for best music on the games we have talked about this year is Sonic Frontiers. Sonic Frontiers is a Sonic game that I love. It's one of the most recent Sonic games that came out, and I attribute it to, kind of reinventing the wheel for Sonic again. I love when Sonic games do that and try something new. And whether or not you like this type of game, I think it was a success. And one thing that makes it stand out is the music. Just when you're going around the world, the music is tranquil and nice. But when you're in the boss battles, of which there are plenty, the music is this just very energetic rock music. It really gets you going. Jaden would always get hyped during these boss fights, and that's what it would always crack me up. So for me, Sonic Frontiers has the best music.
That one was actually very close for being on here for me. I did love the music of Sonic Frontiers. That boss fight music was popping. I was popping off, you know. So I do think that's a good choice, Noah. My winner for best music is Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. As Noah kind of already said, the shanties are awesome. Absolutely love the shanties. I will go back and listen to shanties every once in a while when I just am in a shanty mood. My favorite thing to do in that game was just sail around on my ship and listen to, and sing some shanties. It was very, very cool. So I got to give it to Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag for best music or favorite music. Now we move on to your favorite VA performance. So this is our favorite, voice acting performances throughout all these games. Reminder, because last year there was a bit of a mix-up. This goes to a single performer, not like an entire cast like Noah did last year. But that's fine. We didn't really talk about it. Anyway, my runner-up is Michael Mondo as Vas Montenegro in Far Cry 3. Vas Montenegro is one of the most iconic villains of gaming history. I mean, ever since Far Cry 3, all Ubisoft has done is try to replicate the success of Vas Montenegro with having kind of a villain-focused game. They haven't been able to replicate it even once, because that's how I think special and good Voss was.
Wow.
Hypothetically, fun fact is, the character was even created for Michael Mondo because of his audition. They liked him so much that they created the character for him. Can't get more iconic than that, I feel like. Anyway.
No, sir, you cannot. I did not look up the voice actors' names. I just wrote down the characters.
That's fine.
Oh yeah, so my runner-up, Jaden, I'm going to say the voice of Alan Wake. Is that okay? I'm just making sure Alan Wake is on that list. I just kept getting nervous about things like that. Okay, all right. So Alan Wake, Alan Wake stuck out to me as a game. We'd heard about it for a long time. It was an old game on Xbox, and we just never played it. Eventually, it was re-released on PS5, and Jaden picked it up, and we actually played it. It is kind of a mix between a horror and an action game, of course. I'm sure you know a little bit about it. But what makes it stand apart to me is the way the story, again, the story is presented. You're going through this narration in this weird, creepy town where a bunch of odd stuff is happening. And you're playing as Alan Wake, who is, let's be honest, he's confused most of the time. He doesn't really know what's going on and he's just kind of reacting to everything. But as you go through the game, a trademark is you pick up transcript pages written by Alan Wake in the past, present, future. It was unclear until the end. But, and in these pages, details, the events of the game. And as you discover them, you can find out what is going to happen. I've never played another game that has that, and I just thought it was amazingly interesting. But to me, what made them good is the fact that they were narrated by Alan Wake. They actually had voiceover for it. It wasn't just something you read, pick up, read it, move along, or else I probably wouldn't read a lot of it, even though it was a cool collectible. And I'm pretty sure they are continuing this in the second game, but to me, it's what made this game amazing.
I'll be honest, Noah, I cannot disagree with you more. If you recall when we
I
talked about Alan
forgot,
Wake,
yeah, you don't like
yeah,
his voice.
the voice acting was the worst part of that game. Anyway, I don't want to say anymore. My winner for favorite VA performance is Christopher Judge as Kratos in God of War Ragnarok. I mean, just a stellar performance. In God of War 2018, where Christopher Judge first portrayed Kratos, I actually like at t I found his performance to be kind of weird and maybe a bit like, what's the word, like monotone at times. Like there were some ways he delivered lines that I just did not enjoy in the first game, in 2018, and so yeah, like there were just some kind of weird things about it playing the first game that made me kind of like eh, whatever, not appreciate his performance as much. But I think that completely goes away in Ragnarok. I think his performance as Kratos is much better. It's much more varied, and I think he just does a fabulous job.
Jaden, I could not disagree with you more. All right. My winner here is Christopher Judge as Kratos in God of War Ragnarok. Yeah, I mean, it's just the obvious choice. He wins this actual award every time this game comes out for a reason. I am actually going to disagree with you on the first thing you said about God of War 2018, where you said he was kind of monotone and stuff. You found him to be that way. I really liked his voice because I thought he showed a lot of dynamic emotion in Kratos that we have not seen before. Before God of War 2018, Kratos was just like, Zeus! He's like screaming 24/7 and he's angry. And you're the reason he's angry, the person he's talking to, and he's gonna kill you. That's it. That's all the emotion he has. It's not, he has like a lot of great story stuff that could be explored. The death of his wife and child by his own hand, the fact that his brother, that whole thing, his family parentage and stuff that was kind of gone into later. But none of that stuff ever comes into the play of the character himself. He was just screaming. So this game and the sequel both gave Kratos, like, sometimes he's like, you know, Atreus, you can't show emotion. We're gods, we're warriors, you know, you got to be cool. And other times he's like, you know, it's okay to be angry. I spent a lot of time being angry. And he's, I don't know, you know, I just feel like these two characters, Kratos and Atreus, are completely made up by the voices, the performances, and the writing. I mean, it's phenomenal. To me, it's probably the best story there is in the history of gaming.
Cool. Let's move on, Noah.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Our next award, Jaden. Oh, I'm excited for this one. I am excited for this one, Jaden. Our next award is Favorite Protagonist. Okay. My runner-up is Daxter. Jaden. Daxter is the character who is with Jack in Jack and Daxter, if you couldn't piece that one together. Jack and Daxter, the Precursor Legacy, features Daxter as a human? What are they? What species are they? I don't know. He starts out as Jack's species and then falls into a like pool slash portal looking thing of, oh God, I can't remember what
Dark
they call
Eco.
it. The Eco, thank you. Yeah, the Dark Eco. And he turns into this weasel thing. And that is just Daxter for the rest of Jack and Daxter's lifetime. I love Daxter. I think he's like the better version of Clank from Ratchet and Clank. Clank is a great sidekick, a great character, great protagonist. He's just not very talkative and doesn't have a lot of personality. Daxter is the opposite of both those things. He talks too much and he has too much personality. Some people may find that irksome, but I love it. You know, as Jack starts out as a silent protagonist, the only thing you have is Daxter to keep the game, you know, entertaining and actually engaging. Without that, it's kind of boring. It's this grungy late 90s, early 2000s rebellion story all the way through.
I hate Daxter. He is the worst version of Clank. You are wrong, sir.
No.
My runner-up for favorite protagonist is Ratchet. Ratchet and Clank, great game. I love it. All the Ratchet and Clank games. I think Ratchet is a very fun character. I think he's like, very annoyingly to me, he's like the unsung hero because he does not get the credit he deserves for how much he straight up just saves the universe over and over again.
The newest game starts out with an award ceremony for Ratchet.
That's more of a news broadcast. I guess I am speaking more if you go into Ratchet and Clank up your arsenal instead of going commando. But I mean, he's a guy who the entire reason he started out in this whole adventuring stuff was just because he wanted to have an adventure. He wanted to have fun. And then he just does stuff because it's the right thing to do. And I think that's like, I think super respectful, you know? He does get rewarded occasionally, but a lot of times he just does it because it's the right thing to do, and I respect that with him.
No, Ratchet is an amazing character, one of the best protagonists in gaming history. I just figured you would talk about one of them, so I went with the other. I love Ratchet, Jaden. You know, there's no way around it. I agree with everything you said. I think he's just a great guy. My winner for protagonist. This is the only place I could sneak this game in here, Jaden. My favorite protagonist is Nightwing.
Okay.
Nightwing is a protagonist in Gotham Knights, and I played through Gotham Knights about four full times. Three of them I was Nightwing.
I feel like there's some personal bias sneaking in here, but that's fine.
Yeah, Nightwing is my favorite DC Comics character, my favorite hero. I love Dick Grayson as Robin and Nightwing. He was, you know, just a really cool character. This game does an excellent job of telling the story of all of the Bat family. And, You can pick your favorite, and it's a great story about that person if you play the whole game with them. For me, it was Nightwing. I did play with all of them. I did experience everything, and it is a great story for all of them, as I said. But yeah, I mean, this is probably the closest I will ever get to a Nightwing game, and I'm okay with that. It was a fantastic game.
It is unfortunate that Nightwing is probably the best character to play as in that game.
That was lucky.
My,
That was lucky, though.
yeah, you got lucky. My winner or favorite protagonist is Chia.
What?
Chia was an awesome game. Talk about it later, probably, I don't know. But I love Chia, and I think a big part of that was Chia herself, the character, is just such a fun character to play as. You know, she's a young girl. Basically, is just trying to rescue her father. She makes friends along the way. She is a bit socially awkward, but she's trying. I just love Chi as a
It's
character. I
very
thought she was,
Disney.
yeah, I thought she was just absolutely adorable. I mean, takes on a god, she does, as you know, a little girl. Absolute incredible bravery on her part, and I mean, she's just a badass character. All right, favorite antagonist. Obviously, favorite bad guy. My first one is a runner up. Actually, is sorry. It's like a my runner up is actually kind of a tie, but same game is the Joker and Lex Luthor in Lego Batman 2, DC Super Heroes. I think I have seen two stories in my experience of the Joker and Batman of the Joker and Lex Luthor teaming up. There is the Batman Superman movie, which is three parts, a three episode little mini
Top 10
series from
DC
the Superman
movies.
the Animated Adventures. Yeah, it's great from Superman the Animated Series, great story. And then there's Lego Batman 2. And anytime the two of them team up, I think it's a very fun story, just how contrasting the two characters are, being the two arch nemesis, arch nemesises, whatever, of Superman and Batman. They, I just think, work so well together as far as like an evil duo. And it's always fun to see the two of them together, so that's my pick for runner up.
Wow, what a choice. Yeah, Jaden, my antagonist I am gonna go with is Darth Vader. Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2 or Jedi Survivor, take your pick. Darth Vader is one of the most iconic villains in media history. I mean, the amount of times this character is resurrected to just come in and be menacing and destroy everything and be that antagonist. There's a reason they always bring him back and, try to make other villains like him. He's just that awesome. Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader, literally the epitome of what Star Wars is. The six movies were all about Anakin Skywalker. So, as the Jedi trilogy continues and we come out with the third game, I am interested to see if I'm sure we will, but I'm interested to see if Cal is going to have to fight Vader himself.
I think that's a fine choice, Darth Vader. You know, he's the Darth. My winner, Noah, is Mirror B. Mirror B from
Mirror
Pokemon
B.
Colosseum. This
With the
jazzy,
Ludicolos?
with the Ludicolos, this dancing guy with his red and white afro, his leotard. He's just dancing, having a party, every scene he's in. I absolutely love Mirror B. I think he's just one of the coolest villains that has ever been created. Underrated Pokemon game, underrated villain, Mirror B, man.
I completely agree with you, Jaden. Underrated Mirror B is iconic. My antagonist winner, I'm going to go with Maya Vora. Jaden, you talked about it, obviously, but Chia was a surprising game that came out not too long ago now on PlayStation. I'm sure it came out
I
on
think
other
it's on
things,
everything.
but it was on the PS Pass, is why we got it and played it, right? Was it on the
That is
pass?
correct. Yeah, it
Okay.
was on the pass.
I didn't know anything about it before we played it, but like Jaden was saying, it was a fantastic game with this amazing story of this, gosh, I can't remember the name of the island now, but this island nation's folklore. And I love folklore. Anything based in reality like that is amazing. I love history. I think that's all really, really cool. And how they made this folklore into a game. It was phenomenal. This studio obviously knows exactly what they're doing, and I hope they make more games, and I can't wait to see what they're like. But Mayavora is the god that Jaden spoke of that Chia fights, and Mayavora is terrifying. The first scene that they are introduced, they take a baby from a woman in a cage and eat it.
Yeah, that is what happens.
Yeah, horrifying. All right, moving right along. Jaden, we have the best supporting character.
Yes, and this is actually a new category this year.
Oh, this is new. Okay. Jaden, my runner-up for the best supporting character is Adewale from Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. If you don't know, as I was saying earlier, Assassin's Creed 4 is the pirate one. When you're a captain on this ship, you have a first mate. And in this game, your first mate is Adewale. Adewale becomes an assassin. He was an escaped slave. When he leaves Kenway's service, he becomes captain of his own ship and dedicates his life to the assassins and freeing slaves. This guy is probably the coolest and most underrated assassin in history, period. I mean, Adewale was sweet, and he went all the way until Assassin's Creed Rogue, where he met a horrible end against Shay. Shay Cormac.
Shay Patrick Cormac, 100% will agree. Adewale is an absolutely incredible character. He, all of it did not make my top two, but he was like number three. He was absolutely up there for me. No, my runner-up is Sage from Sonic Frontiers. So
I
Sage
am
is an.
upset.
You're upset that Adewale didn't make it in?
No, I'm upset that Sage is here.
Dude, I loved Sage. Sage was the only new, like, I guess you could say, new character introduced in Sonic Frontiers. She's an AI created by Eggman. She, kind of starts out the game against Sonic, but then she realizes that Sonic isn't a bad guy. I thought she was a very fun character. I actually enjoyed every conversation that she was a kind of a part of. I thought she was really fun. Yeah, I liked her. She was cool. Ended up sacrificing herself at the end. Because you gotta respect that.
God, I could not disagree more. What a non-care. We don't need new characters in Sonic. We got plenty of good ones. Oh yeah, my winner is Clank. Obviously. Everything, all the little negatives I said about Clank was just like, I don't think he has enough personality. He has enough uniqueness. He's kind of just like a straight man in everything. That being said, he's the best straight man. I love Clank. Clank's ability to do everything, change, and he's really smart, can manipulate and hack a lot of things, then he becomes a god of time. It's a whole thing. Anyway, aside from all that, Clank also is the best supporting character because he sticks with Ratchet through all this stuff, and Ratchet is the only person that gets recognized when they have these ceremonies and stuff, and people are thanking them. They're talking to Ratchet and they say, "Thank you, Ratchet." They don't even talk to Clank, but he's there. He did everything. He's part of it all. He's
Let me tell you
only
that
on Ratchet's back because it's a video game. In the plot, they're just doing it together. You know what I mean?
let me tell you that goes away in up your arsenal. It very much is the opposite of what you say. But no, I agree with you. Clank is a great character. I do love me some Clank. Anyway, Noah, my winner is Marin from Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I love Marin. She's
That's a
awesome.
really good one.
Becomes Cal's love interest in this game. Heck yeah, I ship it. But I think she's an awesome
Duh.
character. I mean, she's a Night Sister. You have a Night Sister as an ally. That is, again, talk about kind of unique things in Star Wars, having a Sword of Jedi work with a Night Sister. Super cool. I absolutely love Marin as a character. She actually is the person who stops Cal from going to the dark
Yeah,
side of the
going to the
Force.
dark side, yep.
Yeah, she's awesome. I love Marin. One of my favorite characters. Now we move on to favorite story. Obviously, stories that really stood out to us. My runner-up, Noah, you're going to be upset about this one. The Forgotten City. As you mentioned earlier, Noah, Forgotten City is an awesome story. It is an incredible story. I think it starts out a little bit slow, but holy crap. I thought it was an absolutely amazing story. The different endings you can get are all fun. The actual canon ending where you talk to the god of death himself, awesome story. I really loved it.
It was incredible, and the fact that the game was also a Groundhog Day type thing.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right, Jaden, my runner up for best story is What Remains of Edith Finch. Jaden, this was the game about the Finch family and how all of them met their untimely demises. Specifically, you live through their memories and you discover them in written form. Just a crazy premise and a crazy way to present the story, and a crazy story to begin with. Like, wow, but it is powerful, and I loved it, and it stuck with me. So now I understand why people have talked about it all these years.
I'll be honest, no, I f that story.
You're crazy.
It's too sad. It's too sad. I like happy stories. My winner, Noah, for favorite story, that should come as no surprise. God of War, Ragnarok.
Yeah, but I already talked about it.
God of War, Ragnarok.
Yeah, kind of. Well, I talked about Kratos and
Yeah.
whatever, but you could talk.
I mean, the story of Ragnarok is absolutely incredible. You know, dealing with Thor and Odin actually causing Ragnarok, that is, it is a part of the story. Just the issues, the family issues going on with both Odin's side and with Kratos and Atreus having their kind of differences and arguments. It's an absolutely incredible story. Literally, the only downside to this story to me is the fact that it takes like 20 hours to beat because like when I played through this game, I did not do any side stuff. I went straight on through the story. And it took me like 24 hours to beat the game, having mainly just do the story, which just shatters replay value to me because it's just such a long time. But I absolutely love this story. I think it's one of the greatest stories of all time.
As I said, I think God of War Ragnarok is the greatest story in the history of gaming. The God of War story, the Kratos story in general. So, enough said there. Did I talk about my winner? Oh, no.
No.
My winner is Mortal Kombat X. Jaden, it's on this list, so obviously I'm going to talk about it. Mortal Kombat, since 1996, has been one of the most interesting stories in gaming. And it comes from a fighting game, nonetheless. This story about kind of combines Mortal Kombat kind of combines Norse mythology with, this like martial arts Asian culture premise on the Earth, giving creating different realms like Earthrealm, Chaos Realm, Netherrealm, which is hell, and Outworld, So the story of Mortal Kombat has always been phenomenal, and Mortal Kombat X did, a wonderful thing specifically by moving the story forward for the first time in over 20 years. The story moved forward. Okay, something like that. It went decades ahead and introduced the Combat Kids. Obviously, everybody has their own opinion about the Combat Kids. But I think the story of Mortal Kombat X was great, and it showed the direction that they wanted to take it in, even if it wasn't received as well as they wanted it to. I loved it, and it just go, it was continuing the trend and increasing it of how can we make Mortal Kombat more insane, convoluted, crazy, and epic. And it every game just continues to succeed in doing so.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat X is cool. The story is cool. Like you said, I very much respected that finally NetherRealm was doing something different and expanding the story past kind of this basic, oh, hey, Mortal Kombat, Earthrealm versus Outworld kind of thing. Yeah, it was cool. I liked it. Yes, it is you. This is also introducing, guys, a new award, the
Oh,
Honorable
no.
Mention Award. This award is for games that we loved but did not win any other awards. In this like document because we have like what like 50 some games to choose from and we only have so many awards. So these are games that while we love these games, they just did not win any other awards, which is a shame because I still want to talk about them, so we will a bit. No, what is your first winner?
My first runner up, Jaden. Oh, is Lego Batman 2. Lego Batman 2 is, we didn't really talk about it a lot in this episode, but Lego Batman 2 was huge in both the Lego Batman games and Lego games in general. It's one of the few DC games where you can play as multiple different characters from the DC universe, especially one of the few in recent years. I know it's a phenomenal Batman game, it's a phenomenal Lego game. I don't know what else can be said.
Gotcha. My first one is Call of the Sea. I absolutely loved Call of the Sea. I'm upset that we actually did not get to talk about it really because due to scheduling conflicts, anyone listening to this, if you listened to the last episode, know that I did it with Cam, our youngest brother. And I do think it's regrettable that Noah and I did not get to talk about it because I loved it. I thought it was a great game. When I talked about it with Cam, I kept calling it a puzzle game, which really I feel like it's not what it is. It's more of like a detective game because it's like explore the environment for clues to then solve kind of this main puzzle. But it's like it's straight up impossible to solve the puzzle without the clues. You know, it's not like a, oh, it, yeah, I kept saying that like you would
Yeah.
find hints and stuff throughout the environment. But again, that's all, I feel like that was really just me describing it poorly because it's more like you literally can't solve the puzzle without these clues. So yeah, it's more of like a detective game, and I love that. I absolutely love that. Finding the clues among the environment, using them to solve the puzzles. I loved it. Absolutely great game. Now, what is your next honorable mention?
I will tell you right after this commercial break. Alrighty. That was a great commercial break.
So what was your other honorable mention game, Noah?
My other honorable mention game, Jaden, is Dodgeball Academia. I've played through the entire sorry, I was choking. I played through the entirety of Dodgeball Academia, and I think it was just a fun game. I mean, a really fun dodgeball mini game surrounded by a fun art style, a unique story, a lot of really interesting characters, just a great little indie game.
Yeah, I thought it was good. At the time when we talked about it, I had not finished it. And as of finishing it, I would say my only complaint is I think it's too long. I do think it's a bit too long, but I still thought it was a great game. I didn't think it was a great game.
And you're
My
winning?
well, not really winner, just my other game is Cult of the Lamb. I thought Cult of the Lamb was a great time. I got the platinum in it. I mean, the kind of mixture of like I don't know what you call those games. Kind of like, you know, your cult running simulator. Kind of like, you like build stuff and like I don't know what those types of games are called.
Don't know, you build stuff, manage life bars, there's a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, like one of those. I thought it was for like what it is. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm kind of spacing here. Just yeah, that like I typically don't like those, but I thought it was simple enough that it wasn't too annoying. But then the like dungeon crawling aspect of it was absolutely fun. The combat was fun. The mini like the bosses were fun. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was a great game.
That's a great one to have on the list. I can't believe we didn't mention it.
I think, didn't
It
you
kind
mention
of
it
blew up.
once?
I think I mentioned it in passing. Oh. Anyway, we have this next category, and we can mention it there.
Oh, sorry. So next category is favorite indie game or favorite indie game. Noah, my runner-up for favorite indie game is Tales of Iron.
I am absolutely shocked.
Did I love Tales of Iron? This is another one I ended up completing. I got the platinum in. It's, you know, kind of a simple Dark Souls style is what they compare it to. I personally don't say it, but whatever. It was, what's the word? Oh, it was just fun. The combat was fun. I thought it was very enjoyable. The story I thought was really good. It's a pretty short, which I also did just appreciate for how like I feel like complex the actual story is and stuff. Yeah, no, I thought it was an incredible game. I absolutely loved it.
I am shocked by that. I liked it. I thought it was, it does have Souls like qualities. Weird. I did not see that one coming from you. My runner up is Firewatch. Jaden mentioned
Okay.
Firewatch earlier. It is a beautiful walking simulator, but aside from that, the story was phenomenal. And again, the way it was given to you, it did not make it feel like a walking simulator. It's like, you're doing a day by day, it skips a lot of time, and you're just hearing these conversations over the radio with this person you're playing as and the lady he's talking to. And that's the whole game. It's great. Like, the writing and the performance is amazing, and that's enough to carry an entire game, it seems. A lot of fun things happen. Like, there's a missing person slash murder mystery going on. There's also, like Jaden said, some fires you investigate. There's naked women running around. You got to find them. You know, a lot happens in a very short period of time in this game. And it really kept me in it the whole time, and I wanted to find out what was going to happen. The only downside to me was the ending. Just kind of bummer.
Yeah, I'll agree. The ending is a little, what's the word? Disappointing. Yeah, I'll agree with that. The ending is a little disappointing. Noah, my winner for best in a game, oh, of course, is Chia.
Woo! I would
I
not, I don't know
absolutely
if I'd classify as an indie, but it's a great.
Well, it's one of the few, maybe only, indie game that we initially picked as an indie bid. But as I was playing through it, I just thought, dude, there's so much here we can talk about. I think this could be a full episode, and we made it one. It got upgraded because, I mean, there are races, there are collectibles, there are puzzles, there are challenges, there is the incredible story, the beautiful, beautiful
So many
environment
gameplay
to
improvements.
explore. There's so much to love about Chia. I think it's, I mean, for being, I'm pretty sure, like the first game released by said publisher as a, as they said, like a love letter to their
New Caledonia.
to New Caledonia. That's it, as a love letter to their country. I think it's a 100% success. It was an absolutely incredible game.
Yeah, blew both of our minds. Yeah, so my winner for the best indie game is going to be Cult of the Lamb. Like Jaden said, it was just a really great, oh, what would you call it? Like, God, that same thing we were talking about. Like cult simulator or group management type of game where you are managing your little society of people and you have to make sure they don't die, make sure their warship stays up. There's different benefits. There's a whole lot of leveling up things and getting more benefits for, and it's all about pushing you in the actual quest of killing the four or five, I can't remember how many there are, god creatures in the dungeon delving aspect. And like Jaden said, the combat was phenomenal. And we knew this game was going to be good before we ever played it because it blew up as soon as it released. You know, it was hugely popular,
Yeah,
as I'm sure everybody listening has heard about it.
being a guy who hates popular things, I was annoyed by how much people were talking about this game. Yeah, that's it. That's all I had to say.
All right, so you want
Sure.
to move on? Next up, Jaden, we have our five favorite games. So
And
do
how
we
this one goes, because I did actually have to listen to last year to figure out how we did it. You will share your entire list and we will talk about it, and then I will share my entire list and we will talk about it.
Oh, so sitting at number five, I have Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. And number
Ah.
four, I have Psychonauts 2. And number three, I have Jedi Survivor. And number two, I have Injustice 2. And at number one, I have God of War Ragnarok.
That is a list.
That's a list, Jaden. Sekiro, you now know and understand. Psychonauts 2, a long-awaited sequel, and I think it was well worth the wait. Fantastic game. Jedi Survivor, that series just keeps getting better. Injustice 2, you know, it was way better than Injustice 1, and it is the best Injustice of all time. The only problem is there's no sequel yet when there should have been. And then, of course.
Injustice 2, absolutely, both, I will say spoiler, almost made my top five, and also almost was in my best story section because it did have a very, very good story.
Yeah, the Injustice series overall has one of the best stories in DC history. You
That is
know,
correct.
to me, that's wild that this fighting game company just waltzed in here and showed them how it was done. And then, of course, Jaden, God of War Ragnarok, we have talked about a plethora of times at this point. This story, which culminates in the end of the Ragnarok event, and we find out that Kratos actually becomes the good god who is loved and admired like he always wanted to be. What an ending. Nobody ever saw that coming. We all thought that they were
Absolutely.
going to put him back in hell and we were going to have to get him back out. You know, we thought that was gonna what it was going to be.
Absolutely incredible, yeah.
And to me, the best part is the ending because it sets up the next game, which would be Kratos and Atreus and their new friends in the Norse pantheon defending against what I, you know, if I was writing it, another pantheon would come in, like, you know, Egyptian or Celtic or something. Those gods would come in and be like, hey, you know, you're stirring up too much trouble with all these other pantheons, so we're coming to get your ass. That's just me.
I would say Atreus won't be in the next game at all.
That's insane.
Anyway, my top five, Noah, you're going to be upset with this one. Are you ready? We've got five, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. Four, Rayman Legends. Three, God of War, Ragnarok. Two,
Wow.
Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
Wow.
And one, Ratchet and Clank Going Commando. So Assassin's Creed 4 is my favorite Assassin's Creed game. I absolutely love it. The pirating, the shanties, I absolutely love that game. Rayman Legends is one of the best platforming games of all time. Probably the best 2D platforming game of all time. It is an incredible platformer. It did not win any other awards for me because, one reason or another. But I have to give it credit for being just an absolutely incredible game. It absolutely is one of my favorite games of all time. God
Is
of War
that
Ragnarok, Rayman.
Rayman? Oh, Jesus, okay.
God of War Ragnarok, as Noah said, it's fun. It's great. Everything about it is great. Two, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. So I think Sekiro, I think the story is good, but the way the story presented is not great. The big thing for Sekiro to me that puts it above all these other games is the gameplay is so good. Like it is, if you were looking at games from straight gameplay and nothing else, it would maybe be my favorite game of all time. I thought the gameplay of this game was so tight. I thought it was so good. I'm actually good at it, which is incredibly rare.
It's one of the crispest combat
I mean,
systems.
it is crisp. It is awesome. I would gladly play this game a million times over just for the sake of the combat. Yeah, Sekiro. And then number one, Ratchet and Clank, a game that I have played probably like fully through at least 50 times. You know, back in the days of young Jade and Noah, we didn't have money to buy games all the time, so we would just play the same games over and over. For me, that was Ratchet and Clank Going Commando. I would play through it, get to the end, restart it, and just do it again over and over and over and over again. It is an awesome game. The story, I think, is really good. The Angela twist is awesome. I mean, just the entire story, I think, is phenomenal. And gameplay-wise, it is to me the best of the PS2 trilogies. It's the only one that really continued on.
Yeah,
Ratchet and Clank
I
had a
agree
game
with
come out on
that.
PS5. Sly and Jack have been dead for a while. And it is, I mean, great. I think it is a game that it improves upon its predecessor, the first Ratchet and Clank, in literally every conceivable way. It is better. Like playing games past it on the series. I have not played all the games past it, but I played a few. And there are some that I'm like, dude, I love this, but I wish they had brought this back from the previous game or a previous game or anything like that. This is the only one that I feel like is in every way better than its predecessor. It is such a fun game. I can play this game forever and ever, and it is my number one.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's a fantastic game, but there are other good ones. There's like 20 in that series. Yeah, there was never debate about which one of the big three was the most popular. I mean, Ratchet and Clank, just the sheer number of Ratchet and Clank games compared to Jak and Daxter and Sly Cooper.
Yeah. Anyway, those are our lists, two respectable lists by respectable gamers. Now we move on to the most anticipated game. Noah, I'm very interested to see what you have to say. If this episode had been recorded 2 days ago, I'm sure Spider-Man 2 would have been on there, but as of
Yeah.
yesterday, per recording, it came out, so we can't conclude that. Noah, my runner-up is a game called Banishers: Ghost of New Eden. I saw an announcement trailer for this
Okay.
game months ago. You play as this couple in, it seemed like kind of the times around Salem, like in the 1600s maybe, and you play as people who banish ghosts.
That actually does sound really cool.
Kind of, yeah, it's supernatural. You play as this husband and wife duo, I watched one trailer and I was sold. Done. You got me. So this is one that I'm excited for. It's made by Don't Nod Entertainment, who is probably most famous for making the Life is Strange series. They also made Noah, a game that you've played, Vampire with a Y.
Oh, I love that one.
So yeah, I think they have a good track record of making at least critically successful games. I don't know commercially how well they do, but that's not important. So I am really excited for this, and it comes out November 7th, and I will get it and I will play it eventually.
That's not too far away.
Neither of mine
I
are too
might
far
play
away.
that.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what we said our things were last for Jesus. I wanted
Our
to
most
see what we
anticipated?
said our most anticipated games were last year and see if they came out and what we thought of them.
Well, I know one of yours didn't. Let me just pull this up real quick.
So my most anticipated game, Shaden, I have two. They're very similar, but my runner-up is Wonder Woman. Announced not too long ago, Wonder Woman is coming from Monolith Studios, who you might know, they made Lord of the Rings. What is it called? Why am I blanking? Middle
Are
Earth,
you referring to
Shadow
Middle Earth?
of
Yeah.
Mordor, and Shadow of War. While Shadow of War was, it had those microtransaction problems on launch, they fixed that very quickly, just got rid of them all and said, our bad, here's the game. I bought it after that. It was very cheap because it kind of flopped because they did that. But still, just like the first game, it was the best Lord of the Rings stuff game there is. I've played quite a few Lord of the Rings games, and these ones are just phenomenal. It's the combat from the Arkham series turned up to 15, added a bunch of Lord of the Rings powers. You have an insane amount of powers. The traversal is amazing. The story is really interesting, especially for being what I believe to be an original piece of work, completely written for this game, and they changed some stuff very
That is
slightly.
correct.
They made, they created a lot of things that actually stayed in the lore in other Lord of the Rings things moving forward. Just a really, really cool studio. And the games were made interesting, very much so by the Nemesis system, which is said to be brought into Wonder Woman. So, we've never had a Wonder Woman game. This is, to me, even better than getting a Superman game because, I like having female protagonists. I think there should be more female protagonists, more protagonists of color, more LGBTQ protagonists.
Yeah, that's why Noah does talk about that a lot, actually.
Jaden, like on paper, this Wonder Woman game sounds like it should blow our minds.
I do have high hopes for it. I am excited, much like you said, more excited
Like,
than like a
because
Superman
their
game
track
for
record
the
with
simple fact
combat
of
and storytelling and the Nemesis system, like, boom.
Well, I also agree with you for the fact that, as you said, not only Monolith has a great track record, but there's never been a Wonder Woman game. And I think Wonder Woman is a very underrated comic book hero. Like, you can argue, yeah, she's
See,
one of the
there's
big
barely
three.
movies.
Yeah, like, you can argue that she's one of the big three with DC. You know, if you go like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, they're kind of the big three there. But even in comics, Wonder Woman just never gets great stories. It's like a universally, like, historically
It
proven
is.
fact that, like, nobody can do Wonder Woman right. I don't know why. But
Which
people just
doesn't
keep
make
screwing it
sense
up.
because she's so cool on paper.
Yeah, on paper, she is so cool, but they just can't do it right. And so I'm very excited for this game, and I hope that they will do it right. And again,
Yeah.
Monolith, with how good the Middle Earth series is, both story-wise, adapting a previously, adapting something, and also changing it in a way that was good,
That's an
didn't
excellent
suck.
point. Like using source
And
material, but also making a good original piece.
I mean, dude, changing up the lore of Middle Earth like that, you have the potential to anger a lot of people. And
And it
they did
did.
not. They did, but they also actually, a lot of people enjoyed it. So
Yeah, it does
I think
cause
they have a good
schisms.
track record of adaptations. As you said, their gameplay is very good track record with that. So there's, I think, a lot of promise for the Wonder Woman game, and I do hope it's well. My winner for most anticipated game, Alan Wake 2.
What?
As of the day this game release, as of the day this episode releases, which I think is Monday, October, like 23rd, the game comes out in 4 days. Here's the thing, Noah. I did not like the voice acting for the first Alan Wake, but I loved everything else about it. The gameplay I thought was really cool. The uniqueness of using a flashlight to take down an enemy shield and then being able to kill them. Oh, incredibly unique. It almost was on my interesting concept list because I did think it was very, very cool. And the story itself was really good. It was just, to me, it was just the voice acting was the only thing about the game I did not like. But considering the game came out in like 2012, maybe 2011, and voice acting in general in the gaming industry has improved so much in that time, I have hopes that the voice acting will be better. Yeah, I mean, I am really excited for this because again, my only problem with the first game was voice acting. I loved everything else, and the story was good. It did end on a cliffhanger, and I'm excited to see the continuation of that story.
Extremely excited in anticipation for this
Like
game too,
also,
but it comes out, it's basically out, you know, like
well, I feel
at
like
the time
it's
of
not
the,
out yet, though. It's not out
when
yet.
this
It's not out
recording
yet.
comes out, is it going to be
It won't
out?
be out yet. No, it'll be out in
okay
four
okay
days. And also, I mean, I'm also really excited because Noah, you did not play the DLC for the first game, did you?
No,
Well, I
oftentimes
well, I'm
I
just gonna
skip
oh, I'm just gonna say
DLCs.
that your reasons don't matter. But
All
you
right.
see, here's the thing. Alan Wake, the DLC for that game takes place in the Dark Place, I think it's called, where like, the darkness had taken Alan where he's trapped. And the DLC for that game to me was maybe even better than the regular game because taking place in this world, you have like, you shine your flashlight on words and whatever that word says when you shine the light, it makes that thing appear. And just the environments get so weird and crazy. It's really hard to explain without you having seen it. Just consider the DLC takes place in the Dark Place, and there are so much cool things they were able to do with the environments and with gameplay elements because of it being in like this mystical, place that assuming that those same concepts return in Alan Wake 2, I love that because that was my favorite part of gameplay was in the DLC with like all the
I
extra
find
things
that
they added in
insane.
there. Nah, it's cool. Anyway, Noah, what's your winner?
Well, Jaden, I was gonna say, you know, you said just 2 days ago I would have picked Spider-Man 2. And you're right. I would have. So today I will pick Insomniac's next game, which is Wolverine.
You're a
Played in
dork.
what? You son of a bit, Jaden.
Yeah, I'm here.
I want to double check this before I say it. Okay. Wolverine from Insomniac. You know, they've made Marvel's Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and now Spider-Man 2, some of the greatest superhero games in history and the greatest Spider-Man games in history, are now coming out with a Wolverine game by the end of next year, supposedly. You know, I kind of don't believe that. I expect delays, obviously, but we'll see. And this game is supposedly rated M. I could not be more excited. Wolverine, as we all know, is one of Marvel's best characters and seldom has had good video games. I have played many of the Wolverine games, and I can think of one that is decent, and it's the PS3 version of the movie tie-in game. Of the stupid Wolverine movie that had the weird Deadpool in it.
X-Men Origins Wolverine, it's
X-Men
a good game.
Origins Wolverine, yeah. Yeah, but the game was phenomenal. And obviously, I expect this to blow every other Wolverine game out of the water because of Insomniac's track record, their attention to detail, their love for the characters, and their amazing combat. We haven't seen anything of about gameplay or anything for this game, and I kind of don't want to, but you know, as it comes out, I'll look at it and check it out, and I'll just get more and more excited. But I can't wait for this one.
That's not a surprising pick. See, here's my thing with the most anticipated game, I guess, is I don't like picking games that don't have release dates.
But it's just most anticipated.
I suppose you're correct. Anyway, now, oh, let's look at our games for last year, Noah. So, we both actually had the same winner, but your runner-up was Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. My runner-up was Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, wow, both those games, no. Suicide Squad did not come out and in fact got delayed again, so that's coming out next year. And I
And
didn't
also,
pick it.
boy, are they doing everything in their
Oh,
power to make it not a good game.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna say I specifically didn't pick it this year because I'm pretty sure it's gonna be a bad game.
Yeah, they really are not doing it any favors with all the shit
We will
that's
buy
coming out.
it, but we're pretty sure it is not gonna be a good game.
Yeah, that is true. And then Hogwarts Legacy, I've only played it for like 5 hours.
What, jaded?
I'm sorry. It's
It's been out
the
for months.
I know it's well, the
Oh
problem is that
my
like, you know,
God.
Haley wants to be there when I play it, and we just
Oh,
have such a small
right.
amount of free time. We just have not been able to do anything with it. And it also admittedly starts out very slow, and just yeah, have not had
I
drive to
think
play
the
it.
whole
That's that
game
one's on
is
me, guys.
slow.
Oh, well, that's not good. That's not a good thing to know. Anyway, that's on me, guys. I'll try to do better.
Wow.
And then our winner last year for
Oh.
most anticipated game was God of War Ragnarok. We both picked it.
I was gonna say, of course.
And that one
Sorry.
did come out and we did play it.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about all of those real quick. The ones you said.
Hogwarts Legacy or
Just
Suicide Squad?
Hogwarts Legacy was your runner-up.
Yes.
Yeah, Hogwarts Legacy lived up to everything I ever wanted in a Harry Potter game. It was fantastic. We talked about it, I'm pretty sure, in an episode, didn't we?
Well, we didn't because I haven't played it.
Oh, Jesus. Well, we will. The attention to detail in a world I have never seen like this, you know. It was insane. What a fantastic game. And I can't wait for more from them because I'm, you know, they're making more. Supposedly they were making another Quidditch World Cup, basically.
Dude, that Quidditch World Cup game kicked ass.
Exactly, yeah. That's why I was like, I was hyped for this, and nobody else ever understood how good Harry Potter Quidditch World Cup was.
This was a great game. I loved it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But God of War Ragnarok, you know, we already said it lived up to our expectations and more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anyway,
Oh,
now
I
no,
did
what's
have
up?
one for the play the game already.
All right, let's call it. It's the Play the Damn Game Already award, guys. This is our next one. Was I sp No, I think you're supposed to introduce this one. You go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, for my Play the Damn Game Already award, I have Immortals Fenyx Rising.
You know what? That's
Immortals
fair.
Fenyx
That's a good
Rising
one.
is a Greek mythology game that I bought when it came out. It came out from Ubisoft. It's kind of like a clone of Zelda Breath of the Wild, but damn, is it well made. And I want Jaden to see how great it is.
That's fair. That's fair. No, my Play the Damn Game Award winner is a classic PlayStation 2 game that you've never played.
Oh, God.
It was re-released, remastered on PS4. It is a good game. I like it. Shadow of the Colossus.
Whoa, that's a good one. Okay, you're right. I have never played Shadow of the Colossus. And after all the years that it has been talked about, I still can't believe that I have not brought myself to play it. So, yeah, that's a good push there, Jaden. Good move.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. Anyway, Noah, so that is your game. Now, everybody, it's time for the Play the Damn Game check-in. Did we play the game that the other person told us to play last year? Noah, I told you to play the Jak and Daxter trilogy. Obviously, we did an episode on the first game, so you did play through it.
I think you just said the first game, but I played through the whole trilogy.
Well, yeah, because we only talked about the first game, so. Yeah, no, you played it. I remember you talking to me. I mean, let's tell you how. And then, Noah, what was the game you told me to play?
I told you to play Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Yeah, and you, listener, can watch me play it on our YouTube channel because we recorded most of it. And not only that, but I have the Platinum Trophy in it, so I think I played that one pretty damn well.
I'm amazed, actually.
Yeah, and then it even goes to show, I guess, how differently Noah and I take this is Noah in the last. Noah, so we recorded last year's episode where I said, Noah, play the Jak and Daxter trilogy. And like later that day, he texted me, hey, I'm downloading the Jak trilogy, so I'm going to play it soon. I was like, oh, okay. And then 6 months later, he forced me to play through Sekiro as part of our YouTube channel. So Noah is on top of things with this.
Yeah, I still had to actually force him to do it.
Yeah, I would have played it. Anyway, so yeah, we both played those games, so good on us. And now I will play. Honestly, Immortals has been on my, like, oh, I'll play that soon for so long. Like, it is currently downloaded on my PS5. I want to play it. I just never got around to it.
That is very interesting that it lined up that way.
Anyway, now we move on. This is, to end this episode, guys, talk about the Super Gamer Bros year in review. So this year we talked about 48 different games. Not bad. Not bad. Which also brings our total number of games talked about. If you listen to every episode of the Super Gamer Bros podcast, we have talked about 153 different games. That's a lot of games that we have played. That's actually the number of platinum trophies I have. Little fun
That's
fact.
really funny.
Yeah, but trust me, I will not match it next year. Also, our podcast this year was downloaded 2,676 times, which brings our total podcast downloads to 5,857. We're almost at 6,000. That's awesome. Go us. We're the best.
Well, that is really cool.
And thanks to everyone. I mean, thanks to, anyone listening to this who's downloaded any of our episodes. If this is your first episode, you don't get a thank you because you aren't part of that.
Wow.
But if you've listened to any at least
But
one
thank
episode
you for
before, hey,
listening to
thanks.
this
Yeah, but
episode.
thanks for listening to this episode. Hey, we appreciate it. And also, we have 135 Instagram followers. If you follow our Instagram, hey, thanks for following our Instagram. If you don't, then hey, go follow our Instagram. See, so yeah, it's just cool. I feel like, it's cool. We're doing cool. We're doing good. Go us.
Go us. Check out our YouTube channel.
Yeah. Anyway, don't forget, new episodes every other Monday. Rate and subscribe. Tell us if you like our show or tell us if you don't, and tell us why. Tell your friends and enemies about the podcast. You can follow our Instagram, the Super Gamer Bros, for updates on episodes. And you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Super Gamer Bros. That is one word, capital S, capital G, capital B, period at the end, where we upload videos every Friday. And yeah, and heck, Noah has currently uploaded at least like three or four parts of Marvel Spider-Man 2. So if you want to check that out, check that out.
That is true.
Anyway, yes. Thanks for listening, and we will see you guys next game.
Bye.